WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At least three deaths in Jamaica are already linked to a monster hurricane named Melissa, and the system hasn't made landfall yet, won't for hours. CBS's Jason Allen is in Kingston.
We have been watching right now, kind of waiting for that next burst of wind that is going to knock out the power here. It has been flashing, but it has stayed on at least to this point.
President Trump met with Japan's new prime minister today. CBS's Nancy Cordes is in Tokyo.
They signed an agreement to work together to extract critical rare earth minerals, key components in everything from cars to fighter jets.
Freddie Freeman's walk-off home run in the 18th inning gave the Dodgers a 6-5 win over the Blue Jays in Game 3 of the World Series on Fox. That makes his second straight in a World Series.
To have it happen again a year later to hit another walk-off, it's kind of amazing, crazy, and I'm just glad we won.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. Some Wisconsinites' health care premiums could skyrocket by $30,000 a year if Congress doesn't continue the insurance tax subsidies, one of the biggest sticking points of the government shutdown. Savannah Tomeyolson reports.
People who buy health insurance through the healthcare.gov marketplace can qualify for what are essentially discounts on their insurance to make it more affordable. Those discounts are set to expire at the end of the year, which would make healthcare coverage more expensive for up to 42 million Americans. Here in Wisconsin, about 313,000 people have plans they bought on the marketplace, and 88% of those qualify for some sort of tax credit. On average, those tax credits save Wisconsinites $664 a month. But leaders say costs will surge for some people. Governor Tony Evers.
A middle-class family of four in Wausau see their premium more than double, going from $886 a month to over $2,300 a month. 60-year-old couple in Rice Lake, making about $85,000 a year, could see their premium rocket 800%. That's an annual increase of over $30,000 in costs.
And that's just for the premiums to have insurance, before even thinking about things like filling prescriptions or going to the ER. Democrats in Congress say they will not agree to end the shutdown unless the tax credits will continue. Republicans have said they would consider extending the tax credits after reopening the government. Milwaukee Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
We're going to see families like this take some risks and simply drop their coverage and just cross their fingers and pray. Maybe we could just get by and show up in the emergency room if something really goes bad.
Data shows when healthcare systems, the government, and charities have to absorb the costs of the uninsured, prices go up for everyone. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Alyssa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
Badgers basketball in the spotlight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college hoops. The Badgers men's basketball team getting ready to host Campbell University out of North Carolina next Monday night at the Kohl's Center. Wisconsin ranked 24th in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard, are the Badgers getting some national attention at the start?
Well, I think it's always been on the national radar. Whether you're ranked or not varies from year to year and varies within the year. I think this program is very well respected nationally. I think it's been extremely stable and extremely consistent over the last 25 plus years. So whether you get ranked right away, how high you get ranked, really that's irrelevant. You still have to go play the games.
Baseball game four of the World Series continues tonight in LA. The Dodgers winning last night over the Blue Jays 6-5 in a game that lasted 18 innings. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run. The Dodgers Shohei Ohtani getting on base 9 times, a postseason record with 2 home runs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
Mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 55 this afternoon. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 35 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement, and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's nice to have you here up north on a Tuesday morning, October 28th, 7:06 the time right now. I'm here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson is down in Madison Studio A2. A little under the weather, but fighting through it, man. And he's doing it without being powered by coffee. I'm happy to report the single-serving coffee maker did its trick. I did not flood the kitchen. I have an actual second cup of coffee.
Attaboy.
Yeah, see, little victories for folks who missed it an hour ago. I broke the coffee pot early this morning.
It happens. It happens sometimes.
Yep, happy. So lucky to have the dual thing. I don't have any of the coffee pods, but was able to I was able to measure it just right with the regular ground coffee and got it. Actual, thank you, Tony. Yes, success. I will absolutely claim that. From Rob in Tigerton, good morning. It's clear, 33 degrees in Tigerton, a beautiful day yesterday. Spent some time doing yard work and said he watched the 18-inning World Series game that lasted 6 hours and 39 minutes and lasted until after 1 a.m. And he's still up with us on the radio this morning. Thank you, Rob.
Wow.
That was obviously I didn't watch it. I woke up to news that the game went until almost midnight out on the West Coast when Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning. I mean, so that was like two games in one. Does that mean the Dodgers are up 3-1 now? Can you count that as two wins? Probably not.
They wish.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to be sitting here telling you, oh, the Brewers won an epic game, 18 innings, and they're up 3-0 on the verge of a sweep. But that's a fantasy land that, you know, that bubble burst for us a long time ago. So instead, we have to take what we've got here. And what we've got here is, I mean, an instant classic in terms of World Series games. I'm just glad I didn't have to sit up for that. That is impressive. And I would love to know because I would love to have seen how many people hung around. It's a World Series game. Now, it's not a deciding game. I get that. But still, it's a World Series game. And so how many people were just like, no, it's the 14th inning. I got to go. Or it's the 15th inning. Or the people who are like in the 7th or 8th inning. Well, this is fun, but, you know, L.A. traffic. I got to beat it. I got to go home. You know.
I don't know. I bet there were a lot of people. From the clip I heard, it sounded a lot of people.
Yeah. There's your sports there. I wish it was happier news from a Brewer standpoint, but from a sports standpoint, that is mighty impressive stuff. There is still plenty of sports to talk about. The Milwaukee Bucks will be hosting the New York Knicks tonight. Then there's the Packers. They will be hosting the Carolina Panthers next Sunday. And again, don't be alarmed, but the Packer game is Sunday at noon. you know, when football used to be played regularly, no primetime game, no Thursday game, nothing like that. It's just straight up Packers and Panthers. Coverage begins Sunday at 10 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. There is also college men's basketball from the Badgers. The Badgers have a preseason game against UW Platteville tomorrow at the Kohl Center. Coverage begins at 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Amory, and Wisconsin Rapids. And if you're familiar with Badger men's hockey on the radio, you know that it is over at WFHR in Hayward that they carry the Badger men's hockey team, and they will be playing against the Minnesota Gophers on Thursday. Coverage will begin at 7:30 on Thursday at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Go to WFHR.com for more sports programs, because they don't just have some Badger sports. They have lots of Badger, you know, talk shows. There's like the Greg Gard show and other shows that they have as well. So head over to WFHR for that. And then, of course, there's the second round of the high school football playoffs. And so those games will be on select Civic Media stations as well, I'm sure. So turn to your local Civic Media station to learn more. Did I mention the Badger football team? I didn't. How utterly unforgettable.
I do think they're off this week, though, to be fair.
Let me, you know what? I think you're right.
I think mercifully they're not playing.
That's, you know what? And that's why there wasn't a time, because you're right. It's actually not this weekend. It's the following weekend, November 8th at Camp Randall, when they are playing the University of Washington. So
that's so nice. That's TBD. So nice that they built in a nice little, you're already in the dumpster fire. Let's not burn you anymore. Let's let you cool off a little first.
Maybe it's called a mercy rule. You're getting an extra bye week just because we can't stand to watch you. Why don't you just take a little break?
They're really letting you gear up to play Washington.
Yeah.
I might win this one, so you get 2 weeks to prepare.
So, again, we try not to get too deep in the weeds on sports talk. Just enough for you to, like, engage in a conversation at work and sound a little bit like you know what's going on. So, LSU, Louisiana State University, has been a bit... Oh, Parker's about to give us a hot take on this. LSU has been a football powerhouse for the longest time, and they fired their coach, Kelly. I don't remember
Brian his first Kelly. Name.
Brian Kelly, that's it. And, you know, he's not a terrible coach, and that's not a terrible program, but down there it's like win or else. And he's only the latest in several high-profile football coaching firings in mid-season, which used to not be a thing. But now in this NIL era where players are getting paid, there's so much more money swirling around the system, so much more pressure to perform, that you have universities this year that have been firing coaches, owing them tens of millions of dollars and saying that that's less expensive than having a losing college football program. That's weird. That's there's too much money in there. That's all I got to say about that.
That is the problem with college sports, is that too much money is getting into it on a lot of different levels. LSU, by the way, overall, 5-3 this year. They're not
5-3.
Yeah.
And you fire a very expensive coach.
2-3 in conference. They're 11th place right now in the SEC. So like I guess there's an argument there. I would argue Brian Kelly should never have been hired and probably should have been fired from Notre Dame and probably shouldn't be allowed to coach after he basically killed a kid at Notre Dame. But
well, there is all of that.
That's just my thoughts on Brian Kelly. I don't know.
But there is a celebrity culture to coaching in the college football ranks, and he will end up somewhere else. I mean, that's just how the cycle works. Still, eventually, he becomes a TV analyst or something like that. Now, not everybody is into college football, and some people are happy that the NBA season is underway. Alicia puts on YouTube. I will be watching Detroit Red Wings tonight. Hockey is my jam, which is great. Tonight, by the way, is one of those full schedule nights in the NHL, all 32 teams, 16 different hockey games to choose from tonight. There will be baseball tonight. And there was baseball last night. What do they call it? The sports solstice or something, where all four leagues are in action at the same time.
Yes. I think
there's only one or two days a year when that's the case.
It's a beautiful day. And I would wager that there is a Conference USA football game on tonight, so you could get a little sprinkle of college football in tonight too.
Yes, yes. So the I said solstice. No, it's the sports equinox is what's enough. Going on tonight. But you get all the sports. This is if you're running like a sports bar or something, don't you like really play that up and say, come on in for our, you know, chicken wings and things like that? Tony says there's a word for it. It's magical. It's a magical sports day.
It is. It's a very big day. It's very important.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We were talking in terms of news headlines earlier about how the costs for health insurance policies under the Affordable Care Act are about to skyrocket. And we're learning details of the extent to which that is going to happen. Again, Republicans shutting down the government to protect health insurance company profits. Now, I know there are people that disagree. There was a comment earlier that said something along the lines of, Pat, you have the stupidest take on everything. Health insurance companies only started making record profits after Obamacare was signed into law because it enabled health insurance companies to skyrocket prices since the government is paying the money. Well, that is an interesting take on how that all worked out. To say that insurance companies weren't making record profits before the Affordable Care Act came in is, again, a case of amnesia in history that continues to befuddle me, that folks have forgotten just how horrible it was before the Affordable Care Act, where you'd pay premiums of your hard-earned money all your life. You'd get sick, and they'd say, oh, wait, you had a hangnail at the same time. Sorry, thanks for paying your premiums, but the insurance doesn't cover that anymore. Instead, under the Affordable Care Act, it was, we're going to use your tax dollars to make your health insurance more affordable for everybody, and health insurance companies have to take you on. They can't deny you for pre-existing conditions. But as a result, they're also going to get more customers, and yeah, they're going to make more money, but they're going to have to play by a tighter set of rules. And at first, people were like, I'm not so sure about this. Now look at the polling for the Affordable Care Act. It's off the charts because people understand how much better life is compared to then. But it was not perfect and should have been tinkered along the way. But rather than trying to make it better so that, again, health insurance is affordable for everybody and so that there aren't these junk plans out there, Republicans just kept trying to kill it. And now we're heading back to the days of junk plans. That's one where people go, hey, I never had a problem with health insurance. Well, you never needed it. Or if you did, it was for something kind of small, and yeah, the health insurance company paid out for that. But again, there were plenty of junk plans that seemed affordable until you actually had to use them. And so again, there are ways that we could be making healthcare more affordable, and then there are ways we could be making healthcare more expensive. Guess which way Republican politicians chose? Now again, for people thinking that I'm being too mean and negative to Republicans, I simply ask this, what's the plan? What's the plan? What's the alternative? I'm so damn sick of hearing repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Where's the replacement? Repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Where's the replacement? The market. We saw what the market did. The market took your money and then said, tough hop. When you said, I've got this diagnosis and it's time for my health insurance to work. These are the things we could be doing. But here's what's happening instead. In the state of Wisconsin, if you are 60 years old, if you're a couple and your income is about $85,000 a year and you live in La Crosse County, you are currently paying $606 a month for a silver plan. I mean, that's still, you know, that's not a small chunk of change. You're hanging on. You got five more years till Medicare and Social Security check, kick in. $600 a month, 606 to be specific. Starting Saturday, that same policy is going to cost $2,698. Do you have an extra $2,100 a month lying around? Because that's an extra $25,100 a year. If you're just a 26-year-old, and maybe you've seen that there's, you know, cancer in the family or something like that, so you don't want to think, you're not young and bulletproof, you know you need coverage, okay? You're in Eau Claire County. You've been getting a silver plan policy for $219 a month. Starting Saturday, it goes up to $386 a month. That's $2,000 a year. As a 26-year-old making $48,000 a year, you have an extra $2,000 lying around? No, you don't. So if Republicans don't like the way the benefits are set up right now, they could certainly work with Democrats to come up with something more affordable, but they're not choosing that. They're choosing simply to let insurance companies jack these rates back up and let people flounder without any coverage, take a chance, and risk more medical bankruptcy. Where is the public service in that? We're going to be talking about the shutdown impact on national parks and the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? You may need to rebalance. One more thing. If you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Tune in to WFHR on Friday, October 31st from 5 to 8 for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire radio station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. This special is brought to you by Johnson & Sons Jeep, Gary's Coins, Hoffman's Tackle, Elks Lodge 693, El Cafe, Maker's Square, Beaver's Dime Store, Jensen Community Center, Evolution Axe Throwing, and E-Way Sales & Pawn. Listen Halloween night from 5 to 8 if you dare.
Looking in your wallet shouldn't look like a Halloween scene. Put money back in your pocket with E-Way Sales and Pawn in Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point. When cobwebs and moths take over your wallet, turn to the team at E-Way Sales and Pawn, because when your money is gone, it's time to pawn. Find scary good deals on tools, firearms, jewelry, and more. E-Way Sales and Pawn, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. Happy Halloween!
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
In Wisconsin, our politics never stop. Our elections never cease to end. But there's still a lot of work that needs to get accomplished before we wrap up. And rest assured, both houses, we've got our foot on the gas pedal.
It seems like, we used to joke that the NFL, it's off season, and now we know it has no off season. Politics is very similar to that, has no off season anymore. It's certainly important to, it's part of the job, passing these bills, doing these things. It's great to be able to say that 40, some bills pass, some of these things. That's especially important when it comes to talking about healthcare and some of that, that's being able to spread out. And a lot of these things, of course, almost all of these things come from constituents, you people coming out mentioning these. You touched on that earlier, a reference of that. It's just another reminder to people out there. You're sitting there and you're thinking, well, who's going to care about this? There's no bill that could be passed about this or something. Speak up, be heard. We want to know about those things.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's so critically important to reach out and have relationships with your elected officials at every level of government, whether talking to the federal, state, county, local, all the way down to your school board, because there are oftentimes issues that arise that we might not know even exist. And making sure that, when issues pop up, not that that would ever happen in state government, but when they do, that we're made aware of what's going on. And so, prime example, whether it was dealing with the Miller family and their tragic loss, or, just this past week, we heard, I was able to testify on another piece of legislation that I authored that would create a medical cannabis program. And, we got to hear testimony from families all across the state who talked about the importance and the need for this. I shared, and it was very emotional for me to share my own personal story, my family's story about this. And, you know, I think oftentimes that sharing those experiences and those stories with people who might not necessarily been through the exact same circumstances is what helps move and shape public policy in the right direction.
There's a lot of us and a lot of needs. And the more of us speak up, the more that we have addressing those things, the more we can cover. And you and I have been doing this so long that that's how good we are, sir, because that's the next topic I wanted to bring up. Because you were part of that, testified in front of the Senate Health Committee on this bill that would legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin. I genuinely think, and this is hard to say, because if you ask the five biggest topics in Wisconsin, you're going to get five different things from everybody. But I generally think this is one of the bigger ones we need to address in this state right now, in part because it leads into so many other things, whether it's helping people dealing with these struggles that they're, you know, from cancer, any of that's that can help with that. But then there's our ag industry and what a jolt this could be to the ag industry. And if for anything else, among all these other things that are very, very important, we're so behind on this one. We've got a lot of other states that have already jumped into the game on this. And it's not to say, well, they're doing it, so we should do it. This is no different than, well, his parents let him do this. Why can't I? I don't mean it like that. But when we're talking about economies and we're talking about the other states around us have already been have a jump on this one and are certainly making an income. And if another thing about this, you have people from Wisconsin going to these other states to purchase these products legally. It's something that we're behind on, and it's something that I immediately think of our ag industry. When it comes to this topic, I imagine this is a mixed bag behind the scenes with you and your colleagues.
Oh, it certainly is. But what I'm encouraged by, James, is the fact that 40 states have been able to figure this out in some form or fashion. And shocker, they're not just blue states, they're red states.
Yeah.
Most recently, in the state of Texas, one of the most conservative-run states in the entire nation, was able to figure out and implement a medical cannabis program. Meanwhile, here in the state of Wisconsin, we have individuals who are making very personal decisions to go outside the law to get medicine that they can't currently get here in the state, or they want to find safer alternatives as opposed to being put on prescription opioids that have helped fuel a epidemic, not just in the state, but across the entire country. And so, you know, what I'm encouraged by, so when I first introduced a version of this bill back in 2019, it was dead on arrival. In fact, the day it got released, I got a call from the former Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, at the time, and he said, that bill's dead. And I said, I get it. You're not there. A number of our colleagues aren't there. But it's important for me, as I've shared in when I testified in committee, and I think as I've shared on the show and many other outlets, is that back in the late 90s, my grandfather was diagnosed with lung cancer and metastasized in the bone cancer. And you were watching a guy who was a large man basically wither away to nothing because of the chemotherapy that he was on. It was gut-wrenching. It was heartbreaking. So at that time, and this was 25-plus years ago, my family made the very difficult decision that they were going to go outside the law and purchase marijuana for him. It gave him his appetite back. It gave him time back. And that story is not unique to my family. We've heard this from countless families all across the state. In fact, shortly after we testified, there was a young girl, her name's Nora. She has a very rare genetic condition, Rett syndrome. And with the use of audio technology and computer technology, she testified, 17-year-old girl, talking about how her friends in other states can get medicine that gives them relief. And, you know, we hear it from veterans. We hear it from other individuals who are dealing with conditions from, you know, cancer, AIDS, you name it. So I don't understand why we wouldn't give patients choice and opportunity to allow them to make that decision between themselves and their provider to get the relief that and alternatives, as opposed to being put on opioid drugs, which have been FDA approved and have ravaged people's lives. They have destroyed families. And I just think it's time that Wisconsin joined the 40 other states that have been able to figure this out.
You know, I come from a family of addiction. I do not take this topic lightly by any means. And when it comes to people being helped, that's where I fall on this one. I don't think that anything can necessarily be taken lightly, but it feels like so much of this comes from misunderstanding. And just a fear of, and not understanding necessarily what this is. You know, the old video, the old movie Reefer Madness and some of that stuff and some of those things that really are attached to this topic. When, you know, anything can be bad and used too much of or some of those things. All of the things that you've brought up there, along with the obvious economic impact that this can have.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR. Smart Swaps. It's a new initiative from the dairy industry to try to help school lunch programs move their way through regulation. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The effort spearheaded by the National Dairy Council. They want to help with the challenges that school nutrition professionals face trying to meet evolving USDA school meal standards. Katie Bomback is the Vice President of School Nutrition for the National Dairy Council. She said some of the unique flavors and blends they've developed are being tested on students. And she says students don't have a filter.
Some fun examples include a few cool or portable options like apple pie overnight oats. There's a strawberry pancake yogurt parfait and a frozen yogurt bark. Kids are wonderfully honest. There's no filter. A few of our favorite comments from students included, quotes, put this on our school meals with an exclamation point, and then it tasted really good, 10 out of 10. But it was a great reminder that taste testing is essential. What sounds good on paper doesn't always resonate or land with students.
Katie Bomback with the National Dairy Council says that they enlisted the help of about 2,500 students across the region to do a little taste testing on their recipes. They're now up to about 25 new or updated standardized dairy recipes as part of their smart swaps, helping the school lunch program. Markets are next.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
The Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is Wisconsin's premier agribusiness industry event, drawing interest and participation from all segments of the industry throughout the Midwestern states. Mark January 13th and 14th down on your calendar to be at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Wisconsin Dells. The depth of coverage and exhibits provided during the conference makes it clear why the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is Wisconsin's premier industry event. For more information or to register, visit wiagribusiness.org.
On Monday, barrel cheese was up 2.5 at 179.5. 40-pound block cheese gained 2.25 at 180, but double A butter drifted 0.25 lower to $1.60 a pound. The November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up a penny this morning, $17.90. December corn is currently 2 cents stronger at $4.31. November beans are up 11, $10.79. July wheat right now up 3.5 at $5.68 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Mostly cloudy today, our high right around 55 this afternoon. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, we'll drop to 35 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, childcare remains a big issue in Wisconsin, around the country. Corrine Hendrickson will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back at 7:35 on a Tuesday morning, October 28th. Nice to have you along. Hey, get signed up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. Included in today's edition is a link to my story about the Trump administration giving a big old no to Wisconsin for some of the disaster relief that was applied for following massive flash flooding in August in southeast Wisconsin, where some places got more than a foot of rain, and there was all kinds of damage done to houses, and so individual disaster relief had been approved. But the Trump administration rejected Wisconsin's application on behalf of six counties for infrastructure damage that was caused to public buildings and roads and bridges and things like that. And you might say, well, that's fine. I mean, as long as the individuals got their disaster relief for their homes, who cares about the infrastructure stuff? Well, it's still got to be fixed, which means that instead of it being, helped, instead of some of it being paid for in part by the federal government, it means it's all going to fall on local taxpayers or state and local taxpayers, as the case may be. So you can read more about that in our newsletter. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, time to go way up north, as we do this time every other Tuesday. And this time around, we're getting to know our friend Jeff Renicky from Friends of the Apostle Islands to talk about the government shutdown and its impact on our national parks. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Always good to be here. I wish we'd have some good news on National Park some morning.
I really, we're going to get there again. But right now we've been dealt this hand, which deals with a government shutdown and letting people know of the impact, you know, here in Wisconsin and beyond. So I guess the best way just to start is to ask from a general standpoint, as you look at things across the country, how are our national parks faring during the shutdown so far?
Our national parks are a very diverse collection of landscapes, as you know, from mountaintops to deep canyons, from seashores to, you know, deserts. And so it's not surprising, I don't think, that the impact of the shutdown is hitting different parks in different ways. And it didn't help so much that the Department of Interior sent out kind of a confusing contingency plan for parks literally only hours before the shutdown. And in that contingency plan, it told parks that while the National Park Service will be conducting no park operations and offering no visitor services, the outdoor areas, trails, exhibits, and overlooks will remain generally accessible to visitors. So in other words, most of the buildings in national parks are closed, visitor centers, museums, that sort of thing. You can still maybe get to the trails. Bathrooms may be locked. Trash pickup may not be happening. In some parks, it's become really a free-for-all because of the lack of emergency services and search and rescue. In one park, an American flag was hung upside down in the distress symbol of our national park. So it's not a good situation in our parks right now.
No, I mean, and it leads not only to maybe trash piling up and programs not being run, but, you know, safety concerns and also concerns about damage. Have there been any reports of damage with the, you know, the lack of rangers in the parks?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, you have to put it in perspective that some 9,000 National Park Service employees have been laid off. These are often the frontline people that would be out there keeping an eye on things. So there's examples like squatters coming into national park campgrounds, ignoring the time limits and just setting up home. There's illegal base jumping going on in Yosemite, some off-roading situations in various national parks. And the situation is expected only to get worse. During the last extended shutdown, there were things like rock art panels that were vandalized at Big Bend. Joshua trees were toppled in that park. You know, our parks don't run themselves. Leaving the gates open with no rangers inside is a very strange way to run a business. When you think about it, the National Zoo is closed. The Smithsonian Institute museums are closed, the Air and Space Museum. And when you would ask why, they would probably say, well, there's nobody inside to protect the resources. Well, there's nobody inside to protect the resources of our national parks either. And that's a situation that could lead to disaster.
That is such a perfect way of looking at it. I mean, you wouldn't leave the museums and things open and say, well, we just trust you to be good with the paintings and you know, not let the trash cans overflow. So has it led to any kind of formal call to close up some of these parks so that they stay protected?
You know, it's a difficult decision. Everybody understands that. People love our national parks. They're economic engines. Even this time of year, some parks like Shenandoah National Park, the Great Smokies and others, they get up to 25% of their visitation in October because people coming to check out the beautiful fall colors. So it's a very difficult decision. But most people in the field say they should be closed when there aren't rangers. There was recently a group of 40 national park former superintendents and directors who sent a letter to the Secretary of Interior asking that the parks be shut down, and another letter by 450 former rangers saying that this can't go on. The parks are too fragile without the folks who are hired to take care of the parks inside of them. Our parks simply won't run themselves, and some of the parks have shut down. The iconic Carlsbad Caverns National Park, the caves there are protected. Muir Woods, White Sands, they're pretty much shut down. But in the meantime, others remain open and therefore vulnerable.
So let's take it a little closer to home. And we're talking to Jeff Renneke from Friends of the Apostle Islands. And let's talk about the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore up north here. And again, it's maybe not an apples to apples comparison with some of our national parks, but I have a feeling the shutdown still has impact, even at a place like that, that is a little more, you know, seasonal in its operations. What's happening up there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, our park is very seasonal. So if you were to come here as a visitor right now, you would find the visitor center in Bayfield closed, the visitor center at Little Sand Bay closed, but then they always close. It wasn't because of the shutdown. It was because of the seasonal nature of visitation. But that doesn't mean that things are fine in the park. Think of all the things that go on behind the scenes in that visitor center. There's no park planning going on. There's no staff training. There's no hiring going on. There's no cataloging of artifacts. There's no continuing wildlife research. There's an awful lot that happens at our parks that people don't see to make them run as smoothly as they do when there are a lot of visitors there. So just because a park isn't necessarily looking a lot different doesn't mean that there's not damage going on behind the scenes. We need to get our parks open and funded or close them down.
Now, Jeff, there's a website, friendsoftheapostleislands.org, and you recently wrote a story for the website about the government shutdown and the things that you might or might not see at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. And you address the construction of a Myers Beach accessible walkway project. What is happening with that?
Yeah, that's another good example. So Friends of the Apostle Islands, with the help of more than 500 donors and sponsors, raised almost $800,000 to be part of our commitment to help the park be more accessible to all. And so we got approval to replace the 45-step stairway down to the popular Myers Beach kayak launch with a all-accessible ramp. It's all paid for. It's all ready to go. All we need is a rubber stamp from the Park Service. Unfortunately, the Park Service is closed, and so that rubber stamp won't happen until it reopens. And up here, we have a very short construction season. So every day that goes by may limit our ability to get that done in one season. So things don't stand still just because the park is closed.
So you'd want it to start this next spring and finish it by next fall, and
that would be the plan, yeah. That's not going to happen if we can't get it out to contractors for bids and have them poised to go as soon as the weather is decent.
Yeah, again, like in all these things that Jeff is pointing out, there are plenty of things that happen behind the scenes that aren't going on right now as well. There's also the case where, again, because there's no staffing and people are still going into these areas, you know, they're not paying the fees that they would normally pay. But there are some folks that still understand that without the fees, there won't be support for the upkeep, for the programs, for the maintenance, and everything else. So are there still ways that people could pay fees voluntarily if they choose to use or visit some parks?
Many parks do have internet accessible scanning of a QR code to pay, and we would urge people to do that. You can make a donation to groups like Friends of the Apostle Islands.org, which might be equal to your entrance fee to help us support the parks. And almost every park in the country has a friends group like ours. So there's still a way to love your parks and help your parks, even if you're not paying those entrance fees. And remember that that's losing money for the park. 80% of that money stays in the park that you're visiting. The other 20% is spread out to parks like the Apostle Islands that don't have an entrance fee. So when you don't pay your entrance fee, it hurts not only the park you're visiting, but all of our national parks. So let's all help each other by making contributions in any way we can.
And can that still be done through the usual website, recreation.gov?
That can be campsite fees that usually you pay through recreation.gov. Each park, as I mentioned, is unique and different. Look for a QR code or look for a Friends of group and see if you make a donation that way.
Okay. I'm sure you mentioned earlier search and rescue operations, not even just the operations, but the training. Are emergency services being impacted by the shutdown?
Well, and also communication. You know, one of the biggest things about staying safe in our national park is understanding what the threats are, what the weather is going to be, when it's safe to go to someplace, when someplace might be closed. But the irony is, at the time when park visitors need communication the most, the entire communication staff of our parks has also been furloughed. And so there's no one to ask, is it safe to go here? If I need help, who do I contact? Are the campgrounds open? It's just radio silence from our national parks, and that puts everyone in danger.
Yeah, and Jeff has talked about earlier, again, some of the other things that aren't being done, like school programs, interpretive program preparations, cataloging of historical artifacts. But there are things that, you know, you can do to be helpful. And I took note of one that you said here, supporting local businesses. Even if you can't or don't normally go into one of these areas, those local businesses would still appreciate some visitors.
Oh, absolutely. Most national park units are economic engines. People come here and they spend money. They buy gas on the way here. They stay at hotels. They eat at restaurants. They visit gift shops. Without those visitors coming in, many of these national park related businesses have a difficult time. It's a huge audience. Our National Park Service budget here for our lakeshore is about $3.4 million, and yet we return some $29 million to the local economy. And so it's a real engine for our local businesses. So come up here, enjoy Bayfield, enjoy the National Lakeshore parks that are open. Do that responsibly, do that safely. Come here prepared to be self-sufficient, practice low-impact camping and leave no trace principles, and go visit some of the local shop owners. They will really appreciate it.
And learn more at friendsoftheapostleislands.org. Jeff Reinecke, thank you so much. Appreciate the update.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Have a great day. And coming up in our next hour, we'll talk to Cam Stevenson live from Washington, D.C. from Courier Newsroom, and then Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here is a list of trick-or-treat times happening on Friday, October 31st in the central Wisconsin area. Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Buren, Nakusa, and Port Edwards, 5 to 7 p.m. Vesper and Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Pittsville, Stevens Point, and Plover, 5 to 8 p.m. Adams and Friendship, 4 to 7 p.m. And don't miss the spooktacular trunk-or-treat event starting at 5 o'clock at the Sports Complex on 2401 Cedar Drive in Plover, hosted by the Plover Police and Fire Department, Plover Whiting Youth Athletics, and the Boys and Girls Club of Portage County.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines. And it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant. But environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this Monday, October 27th, 2025. Big thank you to our sponsors, Crockett Septic, sponsoring the segment here, giving us an opportunity to talk to great people like our good friend Matt from the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department. Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you too, James. Thanks for having me.
Always appreciate the time, like hanging out with you, like talking with you, especially when we get to talk about fun events like we're going to today. Before we dive into the haunted walkthrough, I do want to rewind a little bit, talk about National Night Out. How did that go?
It was a great success. Just like in years past, we saw a large turnout, especially with community organizations. Vendors were really great this year. Anybody who wanted to participate was awesome to have along at the event. We had a large turnout of kids, Rafter fans, and it just worked really well with the Rafters because they're grateful to host us there, and we're grateful to have their support too. So just to have a large venue like Witter Field and everything going on in the parking lot, I think it draws more people in. And I think it really, really did well this year. So I know the Rafters have expressed a lot of interest moving forward, doing that down the line, and we're excited to partner with them.
It's an important event. It's a great one for many, many reasons that we talked about highlighting it and talking about it going up to the event. And we certainly, you know, as a community know what it means to us citizens and some of that. I have that perspective already in hand. I'm curious how much it means to you and your colleagues, for you guys. I can only imagine it's got to be a very rewarding event.
It means a lot to all of us. because as we mentioned before, you know, last time I was in here was probably late July. I mean, time really flies, right?
Yeah, it really
I mean,
does.
We're
yeah.
almost at the end of 2025.
It's funny you said that because I felt like you were here a week ago.
I know. That's what I thought too when I came in. The big thing is it really does mean a lot to us. When we get to see those positive connections being formed, especially with the youth in our community, the organizations in our community, and building those bridges, that's the most important thing. Because already we've made some connections at those events. We see them out in the community when we're on patrol or we're doing other type of activities within the community, and we just open up that dialogue and conversation. I can't say it enough. It's extremely important to have that.
I feel very confident, even though I don't have stats for this or anything, but I'm certain that police departments and, you know, sheriff's departments have wanted to do these kind of things since their inception. They've wanted this. It's so cool to be in these times now where we see events like this. We have these events and they're common. We get a lot of these a year and stuff. And I think we could use even more of them and stuff. It's a really cool place we're at with this topic, with all of these things. And kind of piggybacking off of that into another event that you and your team kind of get to be a part of the community with and have some fun, the Haunted Walkthrough that is coming up. Let's tell people what this event is.
Yeah, so the Haunted Walkthrough has been also a large success for us in the past. It's coming up on this Friday, October 31st from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Council Chambers at City Hall in Wisconsin Rapids. For the address, maybe people that don't know, 444 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids on the west side of the river. Just enter through the main doors of City Hall, and the council chambers are directly to the right. It'll all be decked out with Halloween gear, and you'll know where to go once you get in there. But I know in years past, we've had just a countless amount of people come in there, not just the youth, but their parents. It gives everybody a chance, just like National Night Out, to meet us in person, have good conversations. And one thing I do really want to bring up is, if our first contact with youth in the community is maybe giving them some candy, smiling, and having a quick conversation with them, we just made a great first impression. Well, I mean, I mentioned that the last time when I was young growing up in Wisconsin Rapids, the Packer Brewer cards, big first impression yes. with me and police officers.
Mm-hmm. There are things that are just interesting. There are things that we can kind of follow through on and see, oh yeah, they can see how this can impact things. Then there's stuff like this that you're talking about there that have such a huge impact that we don't really know the words for. We don't really know how to put it into words. That individual, that just taking, for example, that one kid, that kid grows up. And in life, whether they want to or they have an issue happen in their life or they don't, you know, whatever the case might be, that they feel comfortable going to an officer. But that they also raise their kids to feel more comfortable that way. This is how we change things generation-wise. This is how we build this bridge stronger and stronger, not just for the current people, but for what we're doing this for our kids. All of this, whatever you're doing in life, it's all building to the next generation and everything. That's how we do this. There's this other part of this, too, to me, that is so impactful about it. And the idea of, yes, that kid hopefully feels comfortable going to an officer. Maybe the kid wants to be an officer. Maybe that kid grows up and says, hey, that's really cool. I want to do that. We could never use enough of that. We could never use enough of being people seeing that is from a young age as a very good career, a very good industry to get into.
Absolutely. And when we're driving around and maybe a child or it could be even an adult, right? We had that positive police interaction. We always talk about that in our profession. How can we positively impact somebody's life, even if it is a negative situation? Not saying anything about the walkthrough. This is a very positive event. But even at events like this, how can we positively impact somebody? And when you're driving down the street and somebody's waving at you and they're excited to see you and they just want to talk to you, that's the greatest feeling ever. Because you know that that more than likely came from a past interaction.
Yeah. When it these things, whether it is handing out those cards or it is these events, the National Night Out, any of these, it keeps building those bridges and keeps making that impact to a point where maybe, you know, whether it's years from now, a decade from now or whatever, it's so much more common what you're talking about there. People waving it off. It's almost like you're a rig going by or something like
right.
that. You know,
yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. I think that's great. And there's no downside to that for our communities out there. So there's a lot of strength in it. When it comes to the event itself, you kind of described it to a degree. Is there anything that people should know, parents should know about it or anything like that as far as costume wise or things to be aware of for the event?
We try to make it family friendly. Yeah. Costumes are obviously that's the big point of it, too. And we welcome parents as well. It's not just an event for the kids. We want the parents to come in and have that exposure to us as well. There's going to be a lot of police officers, a lot of public safety on scene, too. And I'm just going to run down the list of who's going to be there. I've got it right here in front of me. So we got the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department, Wood County Sheriff's Department, the dispatch from Wood County, Elks Lodge number 693, Southwood County Humane Society, Coldwell Bankers, Seawert Realtors, Wisconsin Rapids DECA, Wisconsin Rapids Starbucks, and the Early Autism Project in Wisconsin Rapids. So everything is set in place again for those good community partnerships. We have to give a lot of credit to also the city of Wisconsin Rapids. Mayor Zacher has been very grateful to continue this event. And also, I got to give a big shout out to Officer Olivares. He puts this event together and he spends a lot of time organizing, getting the candy, getting the room ready, making sure that everything is set so it looks like a real nice haunted walkthrough and a haunted house type feel.
I imagine when
you... You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The National Hurricane Center says the eye of Category 5 Hurricane Melissa is approaching western Jamaica right now. CBS's Jason Allen is in Kingston.
By the time that the storm completely passes over the island, Melissa is forecast to bring storm surges up to 13 feet and in some places drop more than 30 inches of rain.
Day 28 of the shutdown, and another 70,000 government workers will go without paychecks, including air traffic controllers. It's expected to compound problems at the airports.
Our flight from Chicago to Newark was delayed 5 hours.
The thing said that we are delayed because the plane arriving was delayed somewhere else.
It's been just havoc.
LA's Freddie Freeman's walk-off homer in the 18th inning lifted the Dodgers to a 6-5 win over the Blue Jays in Game 3 of the World Series on Fox.
This one took a little longer, but this game was incredible. Our bullpen was absolutely incredible.
CBS News.